What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to have you on today. We are going to continue in the same format as some of our previous podcasts. We call these formats Cruise the News or CTNs. And that's basically where we kind of scan the internet. We cruise the news, kind of talking about the latest that's happening, both in the pro pickleball scene and also kind of topics that might come up at your local rec nights and just other kind of hot topics. So we're going to jump right into it without further ado. Do you have anything or do you want to get right into it?
Let's roll.
All right, let's roll, guys. Let's do it. Everything you want is right here. We gon' give them what they came for. We gon' take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
So this first post is actually about the pro pickleball scene. So if you guys are new to pickleball, I'm just going to give you a quick little rundown here. Ben Johns has been one of the top pros for, gosh, maybe 5 years now, 4 years now. He's been like consistently in a lot of finals, has a lot of titles. So Ben Johns is like a really big name in the pickleball world. However, there was a tournament this past weekend in San Clemente, and Ben Johns almost didn't make Championship Sunday, which is like unheard of for Ben Johns. So it's kind of interesting that we're seeing, you know, the GOAT of all pickleball players kind of not be on the podium as much. And with that in mind, there was this post that came up, and this person says, "People who are so fixated on Ben Johns losing clearly don't understand how difficult it is not only to get on top of a sport, but stay there. Thinking he can just remain number one forever without a downswing is thinking your stock will keep climbing to infinity without a day's loss. This man has been at number one in every single bracket he's played, but has a short skid and now people want to talk. I'm not even a huge fan of Ben, but this is just an example of our society and how quick people will write you off when things aren't going well." And a bunch of people are kind of sharing their thoughts on, you know, Ben Johns winning relevancy and all of that. So I want to turn it to you. What do you think about, you know, seeing Ben Johns not, almost not even make Championship Sunday this past week? But also he's taken quite a few losses recently that we haven't really seen.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing him lose more this year. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe 2023 and second half of 2022. He was consistently not just making Championship Sunday, which what that means is making it to either the singles final, the men's doubles final, or the mixed final. All of those events happen on Championship Sunday. And usually he's in multiple of them. I think there was a stint maybe back in 2022, 2023, where he was consistently in all three events, competing for triple crowns. He's won many triple crowns, which means he won gold in all three events. But this year, he's fallen like early in men's doubles a couple times. He's fallen early in singles a couple times. He's been there pretty consistently in mixed. He is playing with the best women's player in the world as well, Annalee mm-hmm. Waters. So would be a little harder to beat him there. But yeah, we are seeing a decline in kind of his consistency getting to the top. I think, you know, what this post is saying is, you know, you can't expect, you know, it's unrealistic for you to think that this guy's going to be at the top every week. Everyone's human. Everyone has down weeks.
Yeah.
But I will say, yes, in men's doubles in particular, I think a lot of this has to do with the game changing in regards to the pace at which it's played. I think Ben has probably the highest pickleball IQ out of any player. And because of that, he likes to play slow and methodical and set up patterns and points. And when the game has sped up, I believe that he, you know, is starting to get faster and a little more chaotic, which Ben wants to be in control of the construction of the point. And I think with the kind of increased chaos, some of those teams that thrive on chaos are kind of starting to be able to overtake him. So yes, what was interesting to me about this last tournament though, is that he, you know, almost got eliminated in mixed. He almost didn't even make it in any of the three
That's
events.
That's what was shocking.
Right. And mixed, he lost, or he came back and won in the semifinals 12-10 in game three. So he barely scooted by in mixed. And if he would have missed in mixed, he wouldn't have been at Championship Sunday at all. So I think what's interesting is, you know, we've seen him fall a little bit in singles, a little bit in doubles, but even that the mixed side was shocking to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. I made a prediction at the beginning of this year that we would not see Ben Johns on the singles podium, you know, first place on the singles podium much longer, just because there's been so many really incredibly talented tennis, high level tennis players coming in, and that translates very well to singles. However, I am surprised at his doubles results. And it's just, again, it speaks to how the game is changing. But here's my thing. I still think he is the top men's player for doubles. I think he, his IQ is the best. And
so you think it's Colin? You think that's why he's not winning? You mean, you just said he's the top men's player.
I think, yeah, I think Colin needs to step up his game. I do. I really do. Okay, I don't think Colin's the best right side player in the game.
I think as the game's adapted, it's favoring Colin less and less.
Exactly.
And less.
With how the games, thank you for bailing me out. That's true. No shade to Colin. I think he's also phenomenal, incredible pickleball IQ, but, it is really interesting. And, you know, there's a couple comments in here. Like someone said, the great Roger Federer admitted he lost a lot of games in his career. And so, you know, you have to remember he's also human, right? Like how can you have an on week every single week, right? Like, yeah. So I still look at Ben Johns' career and I'm like, he's has incredible results. So
yeah, he's getting a lot of shade for not being as consistent, but that's comparing him to these crazy metrics. Like this guy in the comments here of this post that we just read said in 2023 he was 65-6 in singles. He was 73-4 in men's.
Insane.
And 80-2. That's 80 wins and 2 losses in mixed. So the regression has been there, but it's still elite.
It's still elite. So do I think, yeah, do I think Ben Johns is falling off? No, but I do think there's, you know, the game's changing and the competition's getting bigger.
Yeah. And I do think if you watch this last tournament in San Clemente, I noticed it a little bit, but the commentators were bringing it up. I heard a lot of other people talking about how Ben and Colin kind of came out with, you know, pulling triggers more. They kind of came out a little more aggressive than they normally do. So I think they're trying to adapt. They're trying to, you know, initiate more and kind of adapt to the game. But I just don't think it suits them as well. I think they want you to play slow. They want you to play their game. And they want to counterattack, and they want to set up points. And I think that that's just not what people are favoring, especially in men's, which is crazy because you will see those long, methodical, drawn out points because people do respect each other's hands. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Ben and Colin are going to remain partnered up for the rest of the year, or do you think we're going to see a change up?
I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting. I do believe my prediction is that they will split up at some point. I just don't know when. I don't know when he's going to pull that trigger.
So let's say they split up. Who does he have the best chance at being on top with?
I hate when you ask me these questions. You answer that question.
I want to see him play with like Hayden or Gabe. Yeah. I think Gabe's a great right side player, has really good hands. And those two have honestly been Ben Johns' killers. So at least he wouldn't have to play against them. But anyways, the pro scene is continuing to evolve and change. There's new players coming in. The standings are constantly kind of shuffling, which is fun. And I think it's exciting for the pro scene. A lot of the big knock on the PPA Tour is that it's the same people winning.
Same people winning over and over, which it was for like 3 years, to be honest.
But But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments. Is Ben John still the best player in the world?
Is he still relevant?
Are people overreacting? Or who do you think, if he's not the best player in the world, is there a player that you think will overtake him in the next year or so? Let us know in the comments. All right. Should we go to the next topic?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. This is a pretty interesting one. I'm interested to see kind of your thoughts on this. We found a post on Reddit. This was from just a few days ago. And basically somebody asked, are male and female ratings equal? And they went on to say, how competitive would you expect it to be if similar, that's a hard word to say, similarly rated teams, how competitive would you expect it to be if you had a 4-0 woman playing against a 4-0 man? Basically, are ratings equal? And if you guys, you know, kind of aren't familiar with ratings, the main rating system in pickleball right now is Duper. That's the Dynamic Universal Pickleball Rating.
Good work.
I believe that's what it stands for. And there's other rating systems that are kind of starting to sprout up, but this is the leading rating system. They have recently made some kind of changes and altercations to it. You know, we used to know somebody, or we still know him, but we know a guy that works for Duper, and he claimed that the Duper ratings were both ageless and genderless, meaning a 4-0 is a 4-0 regardless of age, regardless of gender. This is why you see the top, you know, 25 to 30 men have a higher Duper than the top 5 rated women. You know, their men's Dupers in the pro scene go higher than women's. And this is why that they've tried to set this algorithm. They've tried to set this rating system where the ratings are genderless and ageless. What do you think? Do you think this is how they are? Do you think that ratings are equal? Is a 4-0 a 4-0 regardless of age or gender? Or you think a 4-0 man has the advantage over a 4-0 woman?
I think it's totally different. I'm going to be honest.
So that the ratings are not ageless or genderless?
I don't think that they're ageless and genderless. No, I think, and you know, I'm sure there's going to be people out there that disagree with me. It's fine. You can have your opinion. I can have my opinion. But I think even in general, when you watch pro women's doubles and pro men's doubles, it's played completely different. I think I heard that, is it that it's either they have a very similar singles Duper or Annalie's is slightly higher, but I think Annalie and Ryan Sherry have the same Duper rating for singles play.
Oh, are you talking for singles? Okay.
For singles play. And I'm like, dude, but if you put them up against each other, like, it's just a completely different game. Different game style.
We should ask Duper to set it up if they really believe that, you know, the ratings are similar.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan Sherry versus Annalie Waters.
And again, put 5-0 doubles women versus 5-0 doubles men. It's just a completely different game.
See, here's the thing, though.
Do you disagree?
Oh, kind of. But here's I think, what people are saying. This is, I think, what Duper's saying is that, yes, there's people that play 5-0. There's people that play 5-0 tournaments that have a 5-5 rating, and there's people that play 5-0 tournaments that have a 4-5 rating. So the question is, if you had a male and a female that were both rated a 5.1,
yeah. I'm saying it's different.
They've played the same amount of games.
I'm saying it's different.
Interesting.
You would disagree.
Yeah, I kind of think that
we could fight about this.
Well, as I've seen, you know, like you take a Rachel Rohrabacher, I think her Duper's like a 5.8. You know, you take for doubles, you take a James, he's like in the high sixes, almost a full point more than, even though they both play mixed doubles. Like, I don't know. I think that's how they've tried to set it up. Do I think the Duper rating system is perfect?
I don't think it's perfect.
No, I don't.
And here's the other thing. Then you would throw in the age thing. Okay. So what if you're a 5'3", you know, senior pro player playing against a 5'3", 25-year-old?
Well, then
Duper would say
that their ratings aren't different. that
the Duper would say
that their ratings are different. If they had to play, if those two played the same amount of matches, that their ratings would be different.
No, they'll say they're rated. They're both 5'3", but one's 25 and one's 55. That's what I'm saying.
Duper would say that they would be this, have the same exact skill level regardless.
Exactly. Duper would say, oh yeah, that's like a fair match. And I would say, no, it's not. Fight me on it.
I don't know. We'd have to see. I've never
would
seen.
Would you put money on the 25-year-old beating a 60-year-old?
I'd say if they both had.
Shocking.
No, listen.
I would win that.
Listen, easy, easy. She's getting feisty over this.
I would win that.
I'm saying if they've both played the same amount of matches in the past year.
Mm-hmm. The exact same, yeah.
And they both have identical records or dupers, then I think that that's, they would say that that would be a close match. They would say that that it would be a toss-up on who would
win. It would be a toss-up. And I would say it's not a toss-up.
And
you would say it's a toss-up?
I think that's the way they've created.
I know, but would you personally say that you think that that 6-year-old could definitely, like, it's such a close game?
I would say if they've played the same amount of matches over the past year and they have the exact same duper rating, then yes, I think it would be a close game.
Wow.
Because if not, the 60-year-old wouldn't have that rating.
What if the 60-year-old has played a lot of 60-year-olds with high ratings?
Well, I think a rating is a rating, is what they're saying.
I know, but what I'm saying is it doesn't take into account your age and it doesn't take into account your gender. And to me, age and gender are huge differences in gameplay. Think about strength, think about endurance, think about like speed. All of that is so flexible.
So let me ask you this. If the best men's team in the world played the best women's team in the world, who would win?
Men's.
But they don't have the same duper. The men's dupers are way higher.
I know, but you're not asking me that question. I'm saying, hey, what if a 60-year-old person with a 5'3 duper plays a 25-year-old person with a 5'3 duper? Who's going to win? Singles.
I said the same thing. Oh, you said singles?
Yeah, who's going to win singles?
Well, then If duper's correct.
Then it should be a toss-up. And I'm like, it's not.
So what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying that I think duper has done it right, is perfect. You know,
I'm not
I don't think duper's like,
but
I think
you're asking me the question.
I think
I'm
that's
answering.
How they've set up the rating. That's how they've set it up to be. And I think that's what people don't understand. And, you know, it's so like, this is what this article or what continues to say says, like, you know, there's 10 people in the comments are like, there's plenty of YouTube videos showing these matchups between 2 4-0s who will not beat 2 men who are 4-0s, but 2 women who are 4-5s would. So this person's like, I think the difference is about a 0.5 difference in general. But I'd say the same for age. 2 men who are 65 years old and 4-0s wouldn't beat 2 men who are 20-year-old 4-0s. So that's what this person says, that it's close, but there is a little like a 0.5 differential.
Which is a big difference.
That's this person's opinion. And I'm not saying that that's far off. I'm saying the way that Duper has created the system to be.
Correct. That's how they created it.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm saying I don't think it's there. I don't think it's that correct because of things like that. Because of things like age and gender, which I don't know. Would you disagree with?
I've disagreed with it about 3 times already. Do you want me to keep disagreeing with it?
I don't know. I can't tell where you stand.
I'm saying, again, I will say it again for you, okay?
I know that's how Duper created it.
And I'm saying that if these two people have played the same divisions.
One senior.
They have played senior pros?
Yeah, senior pro versus a pro.
No, okay, that might be a little
different. Yeah, okay, exactly.
No, but I'm saying that if they have the same rating they've been playing the same amount of games, but one's
just playing in the older division, you think back
to back?
Well,
actually, I don't know. I think, I would actually probably go back. I would say that I don't think the senior pros have as high of dupers as the...
Well, this one does.
Other pros. Okay, well then I think it should be close.
Wow.
Based off how they've created it.
I disagree.
All right, guys, we're going to agree to disagree on this. Why don't you guys let us know in the comments?
But I'm actually fascinated to know what you guys think. Like, do you think that somebody with the same duper playing against somebody that's either a different gender or a different age, do you think that it's really realistic that they're at the same level? Would love to actually know what you guys think.
And the last thing I'll say before we move on is that I do think that duper's by no means perfect. You know, I think They've recently added a reliability score next to your duper, basically saying like 1 out of 100, you know, the people that are playing tournaments multiple, you know, eight tournaments or more a year have 100 rating, you know, people that are playing like I think I've logged one tournament in the past year. So my duper, like on duper, I've had some injuries this year, so I haven't really put a ton of matches into duper. So my duper rating, I think my reliability score is in like the 40s, saying, hey, this is what you're rated, but it's not maybe at completely as there's not as enough of a sample size for us to really know that this is your rating. So I think that that was big that they did that. I think when you look up a, you know, there's some people you look them up and they're super high and they only have 3 matches logged on duper. So again, you have to have a big sample size, but I think that they're doing things like adding a reliability score to make it a little bit easier to read and to look at. But I think obviously they're continuing to grow and evolve. I don't think the rating's perfect. If I look you up and I see your duper's a 4.5, I'm not going to assume that you could be a 5.0 or you could be a 4.0. I take it with a grain of salt, but I do think that it's getting better, but it's by no means perfect. So yeah, we have to say that.
Agreed. I think it's, and let me put this out there, I do think it's the best rating system that we have. So shout out to duper.
Wow, that got a little feisty.
I know, we can fight about it later. We can fight more about it later.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go, let's do that. We should move on. Let's move on to the next one. We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball.
Okay, this next one's kind of funny, especially after this little segment. but this is all things marriage and pickleball. Mm. So,
well, I guess it could apply to like significant others too, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, if you're somebody that's been married and played with your significant other or girlfriend, boyfriend, or even someone you're interested in, listen up. This is a post that we found on Reddit. This person says, I'm not kidding when I say that my 23-year marriage is being tested by pickleball.
Mm.
We both love the game. But now that we're in tournaments and competitive play in doubles, we are at each other's throats after the match, sometimes during the match, which is ridiculous. To make matters worse, my wife is a 50-year-old, so there are old buzzards flying around wanting to pair up with her for 50-plus leagues. I'm 57. I'm tempted to just tell her to find another partner, but that's not why we started this hobby. We wanted something to enjoy together. Is anyone else dealing with this? And what tips do you have? So I can't really see the comments on this, but I knew that there were a lot. And a lot of people had input on this. And a lot of it was, you can never play with a significant other. Don't try. One of the comments, this made me laugh. It said, the wife is always right. Do this and you'll be fine. Like, it was so funny. So what are your tips one, do you think that you can play competitively with a significant other? And two, what tips do you have? What would you say to this guy?
So the first question that you asked, I think it differs for people. I think there are people out there that maybe you shouldn't play with your significant other, you know? There are people out there that, you know, it works great for you. And I think that has to do with the dynamic of your relationship, maybe how well you communicate. I know that we should probably do this more. I'm just remembering this, but I know that some advice we got at one point was to do like a brief and a debrief. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I do.
So basically, like, before you start playing a tournament, you do a brief, which means you kind of like have a pre game or pre-tournament talk about, hey, this is why we're playing this tournament. I love you. I'm here for you.
You kind of talk about what you want to happen.
Yeah, this is what like, I want our interactions to look like. You know, you kind of
like, I want a good atmosphere. I want a positive atmosphere. You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, and then at the end of the tournament, you do like a little debrief, and some of our debriefs maybe have turned into heated conversations on the way home. Like, we've had that happen before.
Oh, we've had silent car rides home too.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing. I think we have, you know, great times on the courts, and we also have times that are hard. And if that's like difficult for like the strength of your marriage or your relationship, then is it worth it? I don't know. You have to decide that for yourself. Right. But I think that, yeah, I think that it can be definitely be difficult. Love to hear from some of you guys in the comments though. Do you play with your significant other? Have you given up on that? Have any of you like had one significant other that really wants to play together, and the other one of you is like, I really don't want to play, and you had to like have a hard conversation about it? Like, I don't know. I think that's kind of like what's going on, but what do you think?
I mean, I think one, it's definitely possible to play with your significant other. For those of you who don't know, we are married. We do play some tournaments together. And we've had some big fights, but we've also had some great times, right? Yeah, so you kind of have, you got to eat the meat, spit out the bones. It is a different dynamic for sure to play with your significant other, but I think you can do it. Do I think everyone can and should do it? No. I think you really got to figure out what couple you are. Some can play together, some can't. I know a lot of actually couples that they both play pickleball, but they like not even rec play, won't even play together.
Yeah.
And it works for them, right? So I think you just have to figure out, one, are you the couple that can play together and wants to play together? Or two, are you just not? And my tips are genuinely like don't criticize in the middle of a game. I think that's so annoying. Like, truly, if like I receive critiques in coaching in the middle of a game, because I think when you're with your partner, you're so unfiltered. So you kind of just share whatever, because obviously there's like that trust of like, you know, you love each other or whatever, you know what I mean? But sometimes you say things that you would literally never say to someone that you weren't married to.
Right.
So I think just like holding back a little bit and just being like not critical and sharing things after in a very like non-emotional, very platonic way is very helpful. Again, keeping the environment really positive is a huge plus, and pointing out things that people are doing right more than you point out wrong is huge for creating a really good environment with your partner on court, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the same. I think it's, you know, I had a lot of fun. I think we played like one of the last times we played with some people, you and I played like a couple matches, like right in the beginning. And then we kind of like split up and played with other people. And then we played together at the end. And I like those where we get to play together and we get to play with other people. I think it's like, it makes it really fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I like those types of days. But yeah, I think it can get hard at some points, you know, like we're both very competitive, you know, and we have to learn how to navigate that. And then, you know, I think in a lot of ways our games complement each other, but I think in some ways we have a little different play styles. So I think, you know, some days we can be really on together and some days we can be really off together.
And I think,
go ahead. You're good.
And I think honestly, having a short memory, like if something happens that annoys you, just get over it. It's not a big deal. Like, don't make a big deal. Like, don't make a level 2 issue a level 10 issue just because you're married to the person.
Yeah. I think that's the nature of relationships, right? Is that you have when you're close with somebody, you have the ability to hurt them more than somebody else. You also have the ability to love them more than somebody else because there's such a better, you know, a close knit bond. Like, the people that are closest to you actually have the ability to hurt you more. And so I think that just like you said, it's very easily to come, you know, to be unfiltered because you're more comfortable with this person. So just keeping that in mind, being kind, realizing that it is, you know, you got in this for to have something fun that you could do with other people, and also just fighting to do everything you can to protect your relationship. And I think maybe if you're struggling, or you know, wherever you're at, you know, if you take some days where you don't play together, take some days where you do play together, and kind of realize that, you know, the strength of your relationship, you don't prove the strength of your relationship by playing together, but you also, you know, you can play together and have fun if you want to, and you both find common ground. So I don't know.
Yeah. So if you guys have any tips for playing with your significant other, please leave them down below. I'll go check and read them, because I'm always looking for tips for that. But let us know, is it something that you guys think is possible in a competitive environment? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't think I have anything else. Guys, if you haven't watched some of our previous episodes, make sure to go check them out. You can find them on the Selkirk TV YouTube channel. We are now on Spotify as well. We'd love it if you'd like and share this podcast with a friend. It really helps it grow. And guys, please, we didn't mention it, but please, if you have any questions that you'd like to submit, we'd love to do some Q&As, kind of answer your questions that are submitted. So you can submit those on the YouTube channel, podcast at the Selkirk TV YouTube channel, where you can find our podcast, or any other platform that allows you to comment in the way that you're streaming. That would be great as well. But guys, we really appreciate you hanging out with us today, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
See ya.